This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Now, Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad said yesterday that the 6.5 billion ringgit allocated for the Malaysia at Work program will create more jobs for Malaysians over the next 5 years. And in the tabling of Budget 2020, the Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng aimed for the program to create an additional 350,000 jobs for Malaysians and to reduce foreign worker dependency by more than 130,000 people. Now, the government will cover the statutory EPF contribution, partially or fully, and using the scheme's wage incentive instead of it being from both employees and employers. This would allow workers to save for retirement while having a higher disposable income at the same time, which the EPF chief executive, Tunku Ali Zakri Alias, has lauded as a win-win situation.
Now, if there are leftovers after covering the statutory contribution, the balance will be credited to a special third account, which works like a savings account with flexible withdrawals. There'll be four programs offering incentives for employers under the At Work scheme, namely Graduates at Work for university graduates and Apprentice at Work for skilled TVET graduates, Women at Work for women to return to the workforce, and Locals at Work for dignified employment for Malaysians in 3D jobs. Now, Tun Dr. Mahathir has also warned that if youth unemployment goes out of control, economic frustrated youth can bring unrest, just like in Hong Kong, Beirut and Santiago.
And of course, youth unemployment has been critically high at 11%, higher than the regional average, more than three times the national average. And of course, Education Minister Mazli Malik has said that nearly 60% of first degree holders and above remain unemployed after 1 year of graduating. So for some insights, we've got the line with us, Lawrence Todd. He's the head of research and development and ideas. So Lawrence, in your opinion, how feasible is this 6.5 billion ringgit plan for this initiative?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that it's worth being clear that I would broadly welcome this scheme. I think that it's good on a number of levels. So I think it's good that it's a sort of incentive that's linked to work. So that's positive from an economic perspective. I think it's also good, though, that it doesn't involve too many conditions and restrictions from the government trying to kind of tailor make an outcome too much. It's quite broad and quite flexible in that sense. But I think the risk with it is that between the different pillars, I think there's different things going on. So I quite welcome the pillars relating to women and apprentices, where I think this kind of nudge policy is quite effective and addresses the issues that are there. I think graduates is a bit more of a complicated challenge, and I'm not sure it'll be as effective. And when it comes to the Locals at Work, I think it's quite problematic because I think it's fundamentally slightly misaligned to what's really going on in the economy with respect to the role of foreign workers. But perhaps we can come on to discuss that. So just on the overall sum, which you mentioned, the 6.5 billion. So, I mean, if I understand correctly, this is 6.5 billion over 5 years. So this is roughly 1.3 billion a year, which I think is a reasonable amount to invest in a program of this size. I think, in my mind, although it's being framed as being a sort of job creation mechanism, I suspect it will probably more be a sort of wage top-up system. That's more how I see it. I mean, if you imagine 1.3 billion a year probably cashes out to about maybe, 100 ringgits per month for a million people. And that's probably the level at which I think this scheme should be aimed in terms of reach and amount. And that's enough money to make a difference, I think, to people's decisions and to people's lives, but isn't going to, I think, create huge numbers of new jobs. But in a way, I think that's better because I think that Malaysia has a bigger wage problem than it does a job problem outside of youth unemployment, which, as you've already mentioned, is quite high. But more generally across the economy, I think wages is the issue, not employment. So actually, I think that that's how this scheme should be seen. And in that light, I think this amount of money is feasible.
And Lawrence, can we talk about the Graduate at Work scheme? Because you mentioned that it's complicated, right? And it only covers fresh graduates who are unemployed for at least 12 months. What about fresh graduates? Is this like a double-edged sword then?
Yeah, so I think there are two issues here. So I think the first is the more sort of technical question, which you've brought up, which is that graduates qualify after 12 months of unemployment. And so the risk whenever we create these kind of conditions is that you create sort of odd incentives and cliff edges. You know, somebody who's been unemployed for 10 months suddenly thinks, well, actually, I'll stop looking for a job, that kind of thing. So that's a sort of technical issue, which perhaps the ministry and the government can sort of adapt over time, depending on how it works. I think the bigger question is actually to step back and say, okay, what is the issue we have with graduate unemployment? And that's a bigger story, which is to do with the fact the number of people going to university in Malaysia is rapidly increased over the years. The overall level of education in the workforce has rapidly increased. But there seems to be a structural mismatch between the supply of new graduates and the availability of jobs. And that's a combination of two factors, one of which is that there's more graduates than there are jobs for graduates. I mean, I think a lot of people can speak to this experience of advertising for a post and receiving applications into triple figures from fresh grads. The other side of the problem is the extent to which there's a mismatch in terms of skills. So graduates are coming through without the skills that are needed in a lot of the jobs. Now, we don't know quite the balance between those two issues, what's really driving graduate unemployment, but it's a combination of those two things, and those are much deeper structural problems. So we need to look at ways to increase the supply of skilled jobs, which I don't think this scheme will go very far towards doing. And secondly, we need to kind of work at the university level to make sure that the skills people are developing are those that are desired in the labour market, which, again, I don't think this scheme is really doing. So as opposed to the woman at work pillar, where I think a sort of nudge to address perhaps a negative perception about women coming back into the workforce after having a family, I think this is quite a suitable scheme. For graduates, it's a much deeper structural problem that I don't think the sort of relatively small amount of money per person is going to address, because fundamentally we need to be creating a lot more jobs for graduates and improving the level of our graduates. Well, and I don't think the scheme particularly contributes to that.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head, Lawrence, because obviously a lack of jobs and poor salaries is a direct result and a function of a poor academia to start with. Now, this scheme doesn't necessarily address the structural changes that are required in the education sector. Do you think, therefore, there's been a misalignment of priorities within the government with regards to addressing the root cause of why youths are not getting jobs at the salaries that they need?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that. I would say that this scheme does not itself address those core problems, but I think the government does recognise that those problems exist. And I think to come back to where the scheme is good, I think it's recognising this debate we've been having for the last kind of couple of years, which is that, wages do seem to be sort of structurally low in Malaysia, especially for young people, especially in low-skilled jobs. And I think this is the right kind of policy to try and nudge those wages up a bit. I think what's then happened is that in thinking about, how do we want to break this up? Clearly, graduates have to be part of that story because that's where we see such a big wage problem. And so the government's ended up with a scheme that is trying to help but doesn't quite match the big core issues. So, as you said, I think it's critical that the government has a wider strategy to both improve the underlying quality of graduates coming into the workforce and also to work on the supply of skilled jobs. So that is a different question around how you kind of promote trade and industrial development in order to bring those jobs into the Malaysian economy.
But Lawrence, immediately at the low-hanging fruit, what can we do to actually improve wages at this juncture? Because like you say, wage stagnation has been a problem for Malaysia.
Yeah, I mean, these are not simple questions. I think, if we talk about low-hanging fruit, I think it's a question about really how to stimulate the demand for higher skilled jobs in Malaysia. So one particular example would be we've got the Comprehensive Progressive Trans-Pacific Partnership, the CPTPP trade deal that's sort of sitting on the shelf, that's in place, been agreed, but the government has not ratified. We've got the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership coming down the track, and there are some question marks about how full-throated the government support for that trade deal will be. Now, I think there are legitimate concerns to be had about these trade deals, and we should have, open, honest public discussion about that. But I think on balance, these types of ratifying deals of this size can do a lot to stimulate the demand for higher skilled jobs in the economy, which brings up wages. So I think the problem when it comes to structurally trying to improve wages is you have to take those difficult choices on policy to sort of shift the economy rather than sort of try directly to top up wages from the government coffers. I think that can be part of the answer, like this scheme, can help at the edges. But fundamentally, you have to make the economy more competitive. That's the only sustainable way to increase wages.
All right, Lawrence, thanks ever so much for your time. That was Lawrence Todd, Head of Research and Development at Ideas, the think tank. Now, Charlene, obviously this is a hugely complex issue and very divisive, but I mean, the fact remains that the economy of any country is only as good as the sum total of its people. And if its people can't be obtaining jobs in high-skilled areas at salaries that are competitive with the rest of the region, then there really needs to be a structural rethink. I think the fact also remains that the Budget 2020 has allocated the biggest sum of money, I think 65 billion ringgit, to the education sector. And obviously the people in charge also have to be of equivalent caliber to push the country forward. At this point in time, I think the jury is out in really in terms of whether Malaysia ticks that box or not.
Yeah, but that's for the longer term. But in the immediate term, right, people are really struggling with the cost of living issues. So like he says, you need to take the hard policy issues today, ratify the trade treaties, make Malaysia more competitive, and then hopefully we will see this high-wage jobs coming into the country. Because if not, we're really going to lose to our ASEAN neighbours.
Because, and obviously you don't want to do this at the expense of government coffers. You want it to come from a demand perspective. So again, this conversation will take time to unravel.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.